Welcome back to Your Zest Life. I am your host, Genevieve, and this week I get to have a guest who I always love having in the studio. This week it's my husband, Luke, and it's such valuable time when I can have him here. Quality time is one of both of our love languages that we share, which if you don't know your love language, I highly encourage you to take the online quiz to find yours out. It's been incredibly beneficial in navigating my platonic and professional relationships, as well as my marriage. I also find that each time Luke comes, I learn something about him that makes me respect his ideas and experiences even more than I did already. Am I mushy-gushing you out already? I promise this podcast is not all lovey-dovey, but rather a real eye-opener in the importance of finding growth as individuals, and how this individual growth can also assist in the growth of any relationship as well. And I'm not just talking about intimate relationships either, but any relationship in your life, family, friends, coworkers, that stranger on the street, you name it. Something I found to be more true this year than any other year before is that relationships take work. And I mean full-time, consistent efforts and action. And man, I thought long distance across the globe was difficult, but the last couple of years have really opened my eyes to navigating just how important it is to be fully present and intentional in strengthening my relationships with friends, family, coworkers, and my spouse. But growth within relationships can't happen without growth within ourselves. Luke and I chat about the importance of a growth mindset and what it is. We share experiences that have challenged us to grow the most individually and also as a couple. And in the spirit of giving thanks, we share what challenging experience has provided us the most gratitude this year. And I wouldn't expect anything other than the two of us getting a little sidetracked, squirrel, with some subject topics that, well, they caught me in a state of laughter. And I share some pretty corny Thanksgiving jokes, just to help lighten any heated conversations that you might find yourself at in those holiday gatherings. I mean, I can't help it. My family did tell me to stop telling corny jokes, but hey, I told them I could not quit cold turkey. Oh, man. Okay. I promise you they are not, well, that yeah, they're all that bad. So bad. They actually might be pretty good if I say so myself, but I'll let you be the judge of that. I am wishing you each a safe, happy start to your holiday season. And I just want to take this moment to say that I'm grateful you are here. And I hope that this week's episode inspires you to find gratitude in your personal growth as well. Welcome back to Your Zest Life. I'm your host, Genevieve, and it is Mommy, Daddy, Puppy Weekend. And you know what that means? Well, if this is your first time joining, maybe you don't know what this means, but Mommy, Daddy, Puppy Weekend means I get to have my husband. I almost called you my boyfriend.
I'll be that too.
I get to have my husband. At least I didn't call you Daddy. That would have been weird. But
You did though, Mommy, Daddy, Puppy Weekend.
Yeah. Which is why it's weird, but not. Okay. But that means I get to have my husband in here. I'm happy you're here today.
I'm happy I'm here today too.
Hey, I just met you and this is gravy, but here's my stuffing. So carve me maybe.
Nice. Yeah. Thanks. I feel like if you did that with the scene from Friends where Monica has the turkey on her head.
Oh gosh.
That'd be perfect.
Dang it. I need props next time. I'll remember this.
I'm sure we could find you a turkey pretty quickly.
Oh, totally. I've got the sunglasses. I've got the dance moves.
Yeah, the dance
I'm
moves.
I'm already very, well. I love to clean like Monica. I thought you'd like that. That was a song that we met to.
Yeah. I mean,
hey,
yeah.
I just met you.
Yeah. I also got a ticket to that song in McCall.
True. So you have a little bit like,
yeah.
reaction. Well, thank you for being here. We are getting ready to head out today to Sun Valley, where we also got married.
Yep.
Yeah. We'll
probably walk around where we got married, hopefully in snowshoes.
I know. I think they've got some good snow up there, though.
There's 19 at the very summit, so but it's been snowing all day and started snowing overnight. So
I'm already bundled up in my layers. I'm just getting ready. I'm sweating though like crazy, so I might have to
it's probably not gonna
take some of these layers off.
It was nice how you could hear the buttons.
I know. Yeah. Well, I wanted, you know, I feel like they couldn't see the visual of Monica. You know what? They can't see, so let's just pretend like when I did say that, I should try it again. And then you can just pretend like I've got a turkey over my head. I've got those oversized glasses. Everyone knows what that meme is.
Yeah, I feel like you can muffle it like this.
Okay.
Or it sounded like you were inside a turkey.
All right, so next time I'll just work on my execution.
Yeah, we just bring a turkey in here.
Okay. When this turns into a video podcast, that'll be the goal.
Yeah.
That'll be my Halloween costume next year.
That's how you, how you entice people into the premium option with video. And you can see Jen put a turkey on her head.
There you go. Wow. Okay, I'm hiring you. You're going to be on my marketing team. Well, I'm excited you're here because I think that something that we've worked on the last, I mean, I think in our whole relationship, and for people who have listened to previous podcasts with you on here, we've talked a lot about doing long distance and how the importance of having identity in a relationship, and that part of that has been really making sure that we know who we are and we know how we work together as a team. And when we were talking about this, something that, you know, when I asked you, like, what do you want to talk about was, you know, in a relationship, where do you know, where do you need to compromise? And where are those areas where you have to stand true to who you are? And kind of it's a give and a take, right? And it's never a 50-50. I think you've said this before that, like, it's not, it's never like half and half. It's never an equal part give, equal part take.
Yeah, I mean, it can be for very, like, very brief moments in time. Most of the time it's not. It's fluctuating back and forth. But I think the target is to get to 50-50 or close to.
Yeah.
That, I don't know if that's almost impossible sometimes because, like, when you are basically like my mom trying to take care of me, take your vegetables to work with you.
Yeah, like, here, I cut up your carrots. You're like, I don't like celery. Yeah,
I feel like I'm always...
You're going to eat them anyways.
Yeah, straggling behind. But trying for 50-50.
Yeah. And I think that the thing that we were really thinking about was in the beginning of a relationship, right? So we've known each other for almost 10 years. It'll be 10 years in March. And in the grand scheme of things, we're going to be together for like 100 years. So I guess it's only 10% of our relationship, but still 10 years is a lot. And the beginning stages of a relationship are like the honeymoon stage. And that's the same. We talked about this with work too. When you start a new career, when you start a new friendship with a friend, when you start a new relationship with a significant other, it's exciting. You know, you know who you are going into it likely, but it's really easy then during that to kind of hit like a plateau. Where either as an individual, maybe you feel like you've compromised too much of yourself and you've lost touch with who you are, which we talked about that a little bit the last time you were here, or you feel like as a couple, you've kind of plateaued and you don't know how to grow from there.
Yeah. Isn't it kind of weird? I was just thinking about the honeymoon phase stuff that like that basically exists for most things in life other than like getting a dog. Or having a kid.
I knew like you were going to say
so much that.
That
you're having to take care of and you're like, oh my God, these first like 6 or 9 months are like, why are you eating the carpet? That one's for babies. Or like, why are you crying all the time? That one's for dogs. I think I've got that right. I don't know. Yeah. We might be ready to be parents at some point, but it's it is kind of interesting how there's like the reverse of that and the way that those relationships develop with a kid or with a pet is like you have, and this will kind of lead into, I think, what we're going to talk about, but you have so much hard work up front and so much of a challenge getting through some of that, that you really appreciate like the times where you're not having to work on those things. And it's almost the opposite with human relationships that, not that babies aren't humans quite yet, but...
I think where, a lot of parents right now are who have high schoolers are like, you're wrong. Like they're like, there's not that honeymoon stage is probably when they're like maybe 6 and then maybe when they're like 25.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's, like you have to work. So think about how
hormones
difficult.
Mess everything up. Yeah. So I get that. But
so maybe just we should stick to what we know, which is dogs, which is what you always tell me is stop comparing our dogs to human children.
I wasn't trying to compare the two. I just saw a similarity that they both fit in a category that was different than other stuff. But
it's true, though.
Yeah, I guess I don't know enough about kids to scratch all the kids stuff.
I think you lost people when you said that kids were eating carpet, which I know was your sarcasm. But for those who maybe haven't had enough coffee yet this morning, me.
Did not everyone else eat carpet when they were growing up? Or okay. Well, I have to call my mom. She made it feel normal.
I mean, Reba did eat dog food. So you know what? You're not wrong.
I had dirt.
Well, that's, I think every child has gone through. And dogs eat dirt. Wow. We are like sidetracking like no other. Yeah,
were we going to get to something? Is there a
well,
topic?
Now I'm like,
we
are we talking about the similarities between kids and dogs today? Tonight?
Here's two people without a kid, but two dogs to tell you about how dogs and kids are similar.
I will say I was talking about, so we took Simba to puppy training classes this week, which is, I mean, he is a puppy. He's 2.5. And the other dog in his class was almost 6 months. So basically the same age. And Simba, I got together with one of my friends who has a baby, or I guess she's a toddler now. She just turned one. And she was talking about how her child got bit at daycare. And I was thinking about how I'm like, wow, in this case, there is a similarity. Cause I'm like, I'm getting ready to take my dog to puppy training. And there's that like terrifying feeling of what if there's dogs that like bite each other or they don't get along well. So I'm like, oh, I can relate to this. I'm afraid my dog might not get along well. Might be biting each other. That's a similarity.
Kids just are puppies, I guess. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I remember when I was in fifth grade, Jory Job bit me. And I have a scar on my hand from it.
Wow.
Yeah. So kids, dogs, they're not that different.
Yeah. Biting is weird.
Speaking of biting, maybe we can get back on track.
Like a weird way to attack someone. Like, I'm going to eat you. But then you realize how big of a commitment it is and you just stop at one bite. Like, I can't eat a whole person. Like, what are you thinking? Why don't you kick them or slap them or something?
Or maybe just don't do any of that and just be kind.
Yeah, but why is your first violent instinct to bite someone?
Maybe that's like a defense mechanism if we go back to when we were like back in our primal days of being carnivores.
Yeah, kids are dogs.
Kids are dogs.
All right, well, we wrapped that topic up. Thanks for listening today. Maybe now we'll get to what we were supposed to talk about.
Well, I think I don't even know what we were talking about now.
Growth.
Yeah. Being in a state of growth as individuals. Can I ask you, do you feel like there have been times in our relationship where as an individual, so not thinking about in the relationship, but just as who you are, you had more tremendous areas of growth than others?
As an individual?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being in our relationship.
So like as an individual participant in our relationship or individual growth while we have been in a relationship?
That's a really good question. I think either. Like.
Yeah, and what's weird is I think that they kind of tend to come together. You hear, I didn't hear this phrase a lot, prior to the last maybe few years, but the idea of a growth mindset, I think, is it's a real deal that you end up with a truly like different mind frame for how you're approaching everything in your life. And so I think at times of personal growth, including like the first 6 months of this year when I started a new job, it was something completely different. Had a lot more responsibility than I'd had previously with things. It was like forced growth there. And, while it's challenging to take on so much more, I think that we had a lot of growth in our relationship. But that a big piece of that was me having to sort of evolve some things that I was doing and put in effort, do like new situation, new everything, but put in effort to being a better husband, better partner. And so I think that, yeah, it's been a lot of times I think they coincide. And obviously with massive personal changes, you know, same sort of thing happened, I think, when you left for New York. Same sort of thing happened when you moved back. But I think there's been periods like that where, and I think both of us have grown at kind of those. Do you see it as being like at the kind of the same time?
No, I think we have. Yes. So yes, I think we have like as individually grown at the same time, or like we take turns growing.
Like individually grown at the same time.
I think you and I are very like, well, I think everybody has a growth mindset, but I think that you and I are growth mindset oriented in that like our goals and our routines and how we live each day lines up with our desire to find growth, whether that's as individuals or in our relationship. But I do think that there have been times, and this can be really challenging, and this is something that I think can cause people to pull apart from each other, is when they see that one person in a relationship is growing more than the other. And I do think that we've had times in our relationship where one of us has been growing more than the other. I know moving back from New York, when you were like moving up a lot in the company, you were getting a lot of great opportunities, you were getting promotions and raises and awards, and I did not feel like I was growing. And what can be challenging about that in a relationship is you start to feel like you're inadequate, and you start to feel like you are not of value to that relationship, or you're insecure in that relationship. And what can be really beneficial though, and this is where, you know, like you can take envy. I've talked about this before on an episode, but taking envy as one, you can either allow it to totally rule you and deconstruct your abilities, or you can look at envy as, I really admire what this person's doing. I really admire what they have. I too would like to embody that or have that in my life and use it as inspiration. And so I think there were definitely times where I was very hard on myself and wondering, like, I work hard too. Why am I not finding this same growth in my life? But I was also able to look at what you were doing in a state of admiration and then use that to fuel me. And I think when I was able to, you know, kind of get out of my own way and focus on what my goals were and focus on where I wanted to grow and how we could work together, right? That's where that gets kind of, you know, this is like a really full answer, but I think that's where this gets really complicated, is how do you grow as an individual while still being aware of how it will impact your relationship? Because I think that some people will self-sabotage their ability to grow because out of fear, maybe, that if they grow too much, they're going to become too different, or like they're going to leave their partner behind. And I don't think that's what they actually think. I don't know what the thought process is. But you never want to make your partner feel insignificant. And so I remember too, there are times where you were really struggling in your career and you were really struggling in your job, and I was finding a lot of joy and I was really excited about what I was doing. And it was hard to talk to you about that because it almost felt like I was like throwing it in your face and being like, oh my gosh, I love my job. I love what I get to wake up and do. And in the meantime, you were pretty miserable in areas of your career.
Yeah. And that was kind of an interesting time, I guess, just because it was the polar opposite, I think, in what we were experiencing, that you were working for yourself. You were, you know, starting something, had people involved that you really wanted there, mm-hmm. were like kind of like-minded, seeing eye to eye. And that was kind of everything that I didn't have at that point, that, you know, I haven't always been in a situation of having the best bosses in the world. And that just happened to be one of those times. And, you know, companies were going in directions that I was having personal conflict with. And so then I'm sitting there watching, like, you be able to take yours where you wanted it to, in a way that you wanted it to, and have kind of control over your own destiny. And it, even though I still was experiencing growth, it was just in a much more difficult form. it sort of was kind of like, wow, I feel stuck in the mud mm-hmm. watching her just run free, and it's awesome. On one hand, like, super proud, really happy for you. But then on the other hand, going, like, damn, this is mm-hmm. kind of tough for me. And I think that, you know, you've always done a good job, and to keep that sort of gap from opening, of just being very communicative. And it, you know, I don't always talk about the way that I'm feeling about stuff, but encouraging me to do that, and just being very supportive at the same time. And it's almost like the more growth that you're experiencing, the more support that you need to give at the same time. And you've always done a good job of that, I think. And that's been something that's really helped us.
Do you think that in those times when, so let's say you're in a relationship, and I always like to make this very inclusive. So relationship, romantic relationship, platonic relationship, but in that relationship, and this can be with us, it can be with anybody else, but when you've been in a place in your life where you are not experiencing as much growth, and maybe you are having difficulties and feeling very challenged, and you're experiencing someone else who you're in a relationship with have a lot of success, a lot of happiness, a lot of growth, do you find that it's really challenging to acknowledge them and to either praise them or just really recognize everything that they're doing and everything that's happening for them when you're in a state where you're really struggling?
Yeah, I think it can be. I think it depends a lot on the relationship. You know, like I think about, you know, some of my closest friends, and this is an area that I know that some people can struggle in quite a bit, but one that I think that my closest friends, it's always been something that's just kind of come naturally for us. But and maybe part of that is because we'd been teammates for so long in various capacities, but just being able to be completely supportive, acknowledge what they are doing and what they're bringing to the table, and just be happy for them, like as things continue to grow. I mean, same thing with, you know, while at the same time you were starting your company and moving forward with things and doing a really great job, and I was sort of feeling stuck. I'm watching Taylor expand off the field, do an awesome job, have, you know, just wonderful success, and rightfully so, like put in a ton of work up front to do it. Same thing with Jake Miller, like moves over, starts as a broker at different places, has always just hustled like crazy. And it, you know, sort of like very happy for them, but then thinking like, you kind of can't help but think at the same time, like, have I made a mistake by choosing the path that I've chosen? And I think that as quickly as you can sort of squash that, because it really isn't about you at that point. And the sooner you can pull yourself away from it and take your own like feelings of your own situation out and just see it for what it is, which is, this is really cool for somebody that I care about a lot, you end up in a much better mindset yourself. But it can also, when, you know, the flip side of that can occur, I think, for people that have like coworkers that maybe they don't get along with perfectly, and you don't understand, like, why is this person keep getting promoted? Or, you know, why do they have the responsibility that they have? Or are they making these decisions? And that can kind of eat away at people. And, you know, I think the part of that that keeps you from growing is that you're focused on something else. There's that meme of Michael Phelps, who you got to see earlier this week, but he's swimming about to take gold. If it's a butterfly or the breaststroke, I honestly couldn't even tell you the difference, but he is completely focused, just working straight ahead, and the guy in the lane next to him that he's pulling away from is looking at Michael Phelps. And it's, you know, losers focus on winners, winners focus on winning. And I wouldn't go as far as to say somebody who gets a silver medal in the Olympics, especially the best swimmer of all time, is a loser, but didn't win that particular race. And it was, you can kind of see the focus. That's always been something that the most successful people that have experienced the most growth in the world excel at, is the ability to hyper-focus on whatever their goal is. Mm. And then I think something that makes it challenging from a personal and relationship standpoint, where, you know, if you're hyper-focused on your personal growth, like, how do you remember and stay mindful of your relationship? So I guess that would be my question to you, is as you've seen things grow so much with what you're doing, you have been hyper-focused on your business and on growing everything. What has kept you able to continue focusing on our relationship growing? Is it something that you've done, like, mindfully? Is it something that comes naturally to you? Or have you even thought about it until now? Because if you're not paying for the premium option, I think I just surprised Jen based on what her face did.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So can you ask the first part of that?
That just as you've seen a lot of growth and you've been so focused on Womeness, on your personal, your coaching business.
Yeah, with us though.
And you've been hyper-focused on that. How have you been able to maintain focus on our relationship's growth and not kind of allow that to take a back seat, I suppose?
Yeah. Well, I think that there have been times where, like, there's an ebb and flow in every relationship and in every process, every stage. And there have been times where, like, truthfully, I probably could have been more present in our relationship and I probably could give more. I'm a giver. Like, I'm a giver. I try to look for solutions. That's why I'm in the fields that I'm in. And so I think the times when I think you and I, just like in any relationship, there's always that point where you kind of have like a reality check and you realize, in order for this to be what I want it to be, I can't just sit here and think about it being what I want it to be. Like, I have to intentionally act on that vision that I have for us, you know? And that's where, like, what I've done with Womeness and with coaching and everything else is I've had to really look at, like, what's the big picture? What do I want to get out of this? Is this important to me? Is this still a priority to me? What do I need to be doing then for my actions to be in line with that vision? And I think that's the same thing with our relationship. And I think a lot of times people feel like, especially when they've been with someone for several years, you get into routines, you get into a certain, like, I don't know, like, every day starts to feel kind of mundane. It's just like, it's just another day after the other. And when I started to feel like you and I were just kind of going through the motions, and I realized that wasn't the kind of relationship I wanted, and you and I had to work as a team with that, right? I think that this is kind of answering more than just your question, but I've had to realize, like, what are my priorities and what mean the most to me? What bring me the most happiness? Where am I really going to pour myself into? And I can't fully show up in my jobs and I can't fully show up as my role as a leader if I don't feel like I'm fully showing up in my relationship at home, because that's my foundation, right? My family's my foundation. And so if my foundation is rocky, I can't really show up in Womeness very strong. And I could feel that there was a part where I was super burnt out with Womeness. I was starting to get into at least my health coach certification, but I was starting to get even like burnt out with Cycle Bar. And these are things that I love. And I was realizing that, like, my foundation was what I needed to really focus on so that I could grow in those other areas, which is wild because you think, like, well, that's going to require more focus and more attention and more energy. But I think that's just a really good example of, like, you get out of something what you put into it. And because I was both of us, I think we both kind of like recommitted, you know, not, there wasn't like a big fallout, but I think you and I really realized that, like, we're going to have these ebbs and flows in a relationship. And that was just a time where we needed to really sit down and identify, like, what are our goals, not just as individuals, but what's our goal in this relationship? Like, what kind of a relationship do we want to have 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now? And we can't just wait around for that to happen. Like, we have to intentionally act on it today and every day. And that's where coming back to like the 50-50, that once you and I could get on the same page, it allowed for me to know that there are some days where I need to show up more for you and some days where you needed to show up more for me. And I think that through communication and through outlining what I really wanted out of my relationships in general and focusing on ours, that's how I was able to balance everything and to show up. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, and actually gave me a thought while you were answering it, and that's that, times where I've noticed that personally that I'm struggling, feeling like I'm growing. You mentioned you get out of things what you put into them, and I think that's generally true, that there are some situations that are a little bit beyond your control. And that a trap for your growth can be focusing too much on those situations that are beyond your control. And right. So I would say, I putting a lot of effort into a former job, and still feeling like going nowhere. Mm-hmm. I know that at the same time in our relationship, that caused me to have well, I'm busting my ass over there and it's not necessarily getting me anywhere. So like, why would I bust my ass here too? If effort is not leading to results necessarily. And
that's interesting.
I guess that my lesson from that was that one's going to sort of pull and take the lead for you as you go. And you really, they kind of work in lockstep with each other to a certain extent. And I've noticed that I'm able to put in more effort on each side when I am feeling like some sort of success with it or seeing some sort of growth in either one. And so really the solution for me at that point was put more effort into our relationship, put more effort into growing with us. And once we did start to do that, or I became like more of an active participant in that, the sort of personal side of things changed as well. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I would have never thought of necessarily. But once you kind of experience something like that, you're able to draw parallels. And like for me, one was in college, my grades were always better spring semester than they were in the fall because I was so much busier with baseball. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I had to put the effort in when I had the time. Whereas in the fall, it was like, we don't necessarily have practice every day. We still had workouts in the morning and things like that, but it wasn't as much of a time commitment. Mm-hmm. And we weren't traveling every weekend. And so there was a lot of time to say, oh, I'll get that paper done later, right. Or, I'll study for this test the night before rather than just right now when I have time and know I need to do it. And that's where I think the whole idea of a general growth mindset kind of pulls together, that some people worry about getting burnt out and keeping balance. And balance is a good thing, but you've got, at least for myself, I've got to be a little bit aware of letting the balance swing too far the other direction, because then it can cause me to just pull back from everything and turn into a bump on the log.
Mm. That's an interesting way to put it.
Have you noticed anything similar on your side, or do you see them more like separate and less connected?
I know that like Miss Idaho and baseball are very different, but at the same time, the time commitment was very, I think I could relate to. And I think that's why when you and I met, it was so easy to connect and it was so easy to just be understanding of our time commitments. Because, yeah, the same when I was leading up to Miss Idaho, it was every day was just packed with appearances and workouts and practicing piano and reading up on news and doing self-reflection, so I knew who I was through the whole process and didn't lose sight of that. And I always felt like I was my best version of me in all elements of my life, even though I was super busy. And I mean, looking back, I probably could have been more present in my relationships, but that was a time where I was very, very focused on what I wanted my future to be and what I needed. And it was something that, because of it, I think I learned a lot about time management and about how to delegate my energy. And yeah, I think there's something to be said that when you are, you know, that's why time blocking when you're scheduling things is so important, is because you do, you feel like you're under that pressure underneath a deadline. Like, I have an hour to get my social media content done. Once that hour's done, I have to move on and I have to work on getting my coaching plans together. And so, yeah, I can totally relate to that. And that I think right now I would compare this, you know, season, if you want to call it, that I'm in, that I think is going to be a much more extended season than Miss Idaho was, but of like running multiple businesses and still leading my team and being an active participant in our relationship while still taking care of me. Like, that's a really important piece, is that I need to remember that I'm an individual showing up on this team, just as, you know, you're an individual showing up on this team. And so I need to take care of who I am so I can best show up. And I think that when all those moving parts are working together in harmony, which is what your word of the year was, like everything being in harmony together, yeah, it does. I'm able to, I think, be my best self, even though I have the most going on right now than I've ever had in my life, or at least since I competed in Miss Idaho.
Yeah, I think that there are, you know, those times when you start to feel like everything's just sort of falling into place and yes, like things are clicking and moving forward. I think that it's very easy to get caught up in focusing on what those results are and not really reflect on what got you to that point. And I had a professor in law school that forced us at the end of a semester to look back at the first thing we had written in that class.
Oh, wow.
And then compare it to the last thing that we had written, which was, it was like a single 25 page legal brief that your entire grade in the class was based on. But she said, it's really important for you to reflect, that you can get so caught up in just where you are from a day to day that you forget about not only where you're going, but where you've been. And when things are sort of falling into place, that's most of the time not just happening by chance. And I think it's good at that point to sort of stop and go, okay, what am I doing everywhere else right now that is sort of influencing this or helping it happen? And one thing that I've noticed in my life is that a lot of times it's been really influenced by the people that I'm surrounding myself with.
Totally.
And so from a professional standpoint, that's something that I've always felt like was another strength with our relationship, that you can continue to motivate me and things like that. But then when you mention relationships, you can see the same thing when as a couple, who you're spending time with and what you're doing. And I think it is important to spend time with other couples as well, just like it's important to spend time with yourselves.
Yeah.
And there are some that are going to influence like really good things about you. Mm-hmm. And then there's times too where, you know, it can maybe influence things negatively. And it's not to say that the people that you're around are truly a negative influence, but it's just what might work in their relationship isn't necessarily what works in yours. And we see that happen with individuals all the time.
Totally.
Where like there might be people that look at me and they're like, okay, so you get up at 5 o'clock every morning and this is sort of your routine throughout the day, like not going to work for me. Doesn't mean that we can't be equally successful with anything. And I just think that, you know, kind of being a product of who you surround yourselves with, that's something I've realized as the year's gone on. When I chose harmony, like you said, as the word of the year, that's been a really big factor with it, like harmony just all around. I was thinking of it much more narrowly when I chose it as the word, and now I'm realizing all of the things that influence it. And
yeah,
I think now is probably a good time to remind people to start thinking of what they want their word for next year to be. And maybe next time we go on a trip or something, that can be our podcast topic.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they don't even have to wait till next year. You can choose a word now.
Yeah. It's just the dates on the calendar are just made up anyway.
Time really is made up.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to ask you one more question that I've been thinking about, and you brought up Michael Phelps, which he said some, like, I still am like trying to wrap my mind around some of the things he talked about. Very relatable human, really just super authentic. And one of the things he said is that when you start to plateau, to just trust the process. And so I'm curious, what has helped you in a time, whether as an individual or as a team, where you have either plateaued or started to decline or digress in your growth? What advice would you give to somebody that helped you to trust the process and to get back into a state of growth?
I guess that most of my life lessons are taken from sports, but there were always times where it was possible to find yourself in some sort of a slump as an athlete. And when you talk about trusting the process, I think that when you start to regress and not feel like you're moving forward, you may have just lost track of what the process was. And so in athletics, it was always step back and refocus on the fundamentals, make sure that we're covering everything from a very base level and not taking anything for granted, and continue to make that a part of your mindset and your focus. And I think the same sort of thing in any sort of a relationship as well, that if I'll have times it's like, why does Jen seem mad at me more often lately? That if I think about like the things that make our relationship click, and I go, oh boy, you haven't been doing a great job of communicating how you're feeling or what you're thinking, Luke, like this might possibly have an influence on that. Like, that's step one of everything with the relationship is communicate. And you go back, you focus on that fundamental and start making it a priority. And that process is back in action. That, you can say trust the process, but I think that one of the traps with that is believing that you're still in the process at a time that you might not be. You might have slowly strayed off track. And I'm sure that that's a part of what Michael Phelps had experienced in his life. We experienced like very similar levels of success as athletes.
Right.
He only has 23 more gold medals than I do, so it was pretty close. I think that answer your question.
Yeah.
And then I guess how would your answer differ from that? Or what would you add to it?
No, I think I agree with you. I think that's just, I don't know. I the biggest thing that I'm working on, I think that's why like I asked that question, is that something I'm working on, is trusting that process and trusting that whatever's happening right now is supposed to teach me something, that maybe this is a time for me. I know that when I am hitting those times where I'm plateauing or regressing, not digressing, is that I need to kind of get a little more quiet, and I need to have more time for reflection and really think about like what's happening right now and what am I going through? What am I supposed to be taking away from this experience? Because there are times where this is easier to recognize than others, but I do think that things happen for a reason. There are some of these things that is really challenging to apply to, but in a state of growth, when you hit a plateau, you're regressing, there's something to learn from that. Maybe it's that you need to say no to something. Maybe it's that you need to delegate something. Maybe it's you need to rework your routines or your habits or your structure. And yeah, I do have one more question for you.
Okay. I don't know how many times you're going to say that, but that's typically something you can only say once.
Okay. This is a part two of the question. So technically it was just the same question, even though they have nothing to do with each other. What key has legs and can't open a door?
And can't open a door?
Yeah, no, it can't open a door.
Would it a monkey? Or a donkey?
A turkey.
Man, if a turkey did just bust through that door right now, that would be way weirder than if a monkey did. A monkey at least has hands.
Well, if that turkey was drunk, what sound would it make?
I don't know what.
Wobble, wobble. Get it?
Yeah.
What does a turkey say to the computer?
I don't know.
Google, Google. These are good. People are going to have such good conversation to make with grandma at Thanksgiving. She's going to love, actually, grandpa might love these.
How old are the people you think that are listening to this? Is it like 6-year-olds making conversation?
Oh,
with
get out
of
here. Okay, this is more our age. What's the best song to play while cooking a turkey?
Oh, I don't know what.
You know, I'm all about that bass, about that bass.
Oh, my gosh.
No gravy. Hold the gravy. Actually, I love gravy. Okay, I'll ask you last one. Why was the Thanksgiving soup so expensive?
I don't know why.
You're usually so good. You guess at these and you usually guess them. These must be really good jokes then because you haven't guessed any of them.
Yeah, really good.
Or you're just letting me have my moment. Okay, fine. Because it had 24 carats. Hey, that's nice. Good, right?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of these you could supplement with music. Have a song as a part of it. You have Bruno Mars right there. Obviously, Meghan Trainor.
24 carats in my turkey Thanksgiving soup.
Yeah, just like that. I mean, this is
hands up in the air if you want seconds.
This is just going to be
Bruno Mars, hire me. Yeah,
this is going to be like Wayne's World, where some guy's going to be driving by in his limo and he's going to catch this on public access.
Yes.
And
he's gonna be like, my big break.
Sign you. Didn't even know you were going to become an international pop star.
I know. I'm going to be like that one. Who's the DJ that you listen to? Get the out of bed. Go.
Mark Rebele.
Yeah. Maybe he'll hire me.
Maybe he'll hire me.
His kimonos are awesome. I still want his llama kimono.
I just want to be his neighbor. Be cool.
Can you imagine,
he's
though?
He's making a song again. Nice.
Well, he's always filming during daytime, so he wouldn't be like one of those guys that's annoying filming at night. So
I don't know. Who cares?
It's fine.
Either way.
Well, babe, I only have pies for you. And I'm so grateful you are here. Thank you for being on here today. Okay, my last part three question. What are you the most grateful for that this year has brought you?
I would think just probably a better vision of what that harmony is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been certain pieces that have been sacrificed a little bit that are things that make me really happy in any given moment. But like on the grand scale, it's been, I think, a good year, like for progress, like things that, I feel getting better. One of those is not my golf game, because I haven't had a lot of free time to do that. But just a kind of a renewed focus and push to like promote that harmony side of things. So what about you? What are you the most grateful for?
I didn't even think about this going into this. This has been probably one of the hardest years, but like the most rewarding year. I've got a really, really cool team that I get to work with for Womeness, and I think that's made my life not like easier because now we have a lot more that we're working on and a lot more opportunities. But it's really allowed me to spread my energy much more, like, not productively, but much more intentionally. And I can really fully show up in areas of my life. And I think that, you know, I'm really grateful that you and I have, I feel like we're like the best team that we've ever been this year. And I'm really grateful for that because it just helps with all the other moving parts. And it makes me want to show up better in our relationship. And that same energy makes me want to show up better in my role as the lead at Cycle Bar and my role as a friend and as a coach. Yeah. And I'm always grateful for our dogs. Every day when I do my journaling, my intentions and my affirmations, it says, what are you grateful for? And I say, my boys.
Jeez.
And you're including that, my boys, my three boys. So, yeah.
Cool.
Well, thank you again. And I hope that whenever you are listening to this, that if you are able to celebrate with family this week, that you just are having a peaceful and that they laughed at your jokes or at least gave you one of those courteous giggles that I think my husband gave me one or two of.
You can go ahead and copy the laugh track from this.
If you need to, or maybe, I don't know, maybe practice. Oh, next year, I'm getting the turkey on my head. I'm doing it.
All right. You heard it here.
You heard it here. Get ready. Get ready, Jones. We're doing a photo shoot with turkey head.
Oh boy.
All right. Have a wonderful holiday though, and wherever you are, just know that you are just a blessing to have in this world and that there are multiple people out there who are grateful for you and I'm grateful that you're listening and looking forward to many, many more episodes with you. Have a wonderful rest of your week. All right. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this episode brought some zest into your life. Mm-hmm. And if you think this podcast will bring value to someone else, please feel free to share. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. You can also find more insight on my Instagram at Genevieve_Nuttinghaworth and click the link in this episode's description where you can find my website. All right. I can't wait to rally with you next week. We'll be right back.